Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. Ephesians in chapter 5. I know this is Mother's Day, and what a blessing it is. It's sad that we're not able to celebrate it like we normally would, but we are acknowledging that this is Mother's Day, and we surely appreciate all of the mothers that are here today and all the mothers that are watching via the live stream. And you have a very special position in the family as God designed it. And you have a very special position in the church as God designed it as well. And so we're going to be preaching this morning a message on the family. I trust it'll be a help and a blessing to you. Last Sunday, we preached five things we need to be doing every day. And there's actually 10. We're going to preach on that and give you the other five next Sunday. But this morning we're looking here to the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. And if you would stand with me, we'll read the word of God together if you're able to stand. And you at home as well, get your Bibles out and read right along with us as we will read together this morning, beginning with verse 22. And we'll read all the way down to chapter 6 and verse 4. In verse 22, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Let's pray. Father, we bow before you once again. Thank you for allowing us to assemble ourselves once again this morning in this, your house. And I just pray for all, God, that are here and all that are listening and being a part of this through the live stream, God, that you would again meet with us. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. The text that we just read this morning in chapter 5, going into actually chapter 6, gives us God's design for each position that make up the biblical home. That is beginning to be more and more important in society today. Can I tell you, it's the biblical home and the biblical church are what will continue to be under attack in this 21st century leading up to the rapture of the church. Now, I think through what we've already experienced as a church and as a nation, as a world, boy, it brings in a lot of prophecy concerning the rapture of the church and what is going to be taking place, the signs of that time, and what will be taking place even after the church during the tribulation period, where there will be a third of the world's population at one point completely destroyed. And so many other things that bring in the prophecies into light and seeing a little bit more how that things will happen just as God says they will happen. And in order for that to take place, there's going to have to be, I know, a one world government, a one world currency, a one world religion, all the different things that are kind of pointing in that direction as a society, as a world today. But the church and the families make up the church. So the old devil knows if he can destroy the family, he can have an en route to the church. The church is only as strong as its families. And so I believe they somewhat go together. And even as the Lord was presenting his plan for the positions in the home and the responsibility for the positions in the home, he is likening this to the church, which I believe that they do go hand in hand. I do believe and I trust, as I said earlier, that what we have gone through and what we're continuing to go through will bring revival. It could be the final opportunity for a spiritual awakening. Be the last call for people to be saved. I believe we're there. That's so true in what we're facing today. I praise God for the strength and the blessings of the biblical homes. If you didn't have God to turn to during this time and you didn't have the peace that God gives, where would peace come from? I thank God for the biblical church, that even though we had to be apart for a while, still stayed strong. Yeah, I believe our church is as strong today as it's ever been. And I believe that we can accomplish some great and mighty things. I believe the light of the church is what is going to make a difference, as the Bible reveals that it will. So in understanding that, we know that God's design for the home is timeless. It's how God designed it in the very beginning, and even as he designed it and gave us insight, further insight, he designed it in the beginning with Adam and Eve, and he gave the insight into the Old Testament, but then Jesus brought the revelation. He brought the fulfillment of God's design for marriage and the church into play. They didn't understand the church in the Old Testament. There was a mystery, but now we understand the church, and we understand how important it is for the church to have God's design for the family. And they do go hand in hand. Chapter 5 and verse 22, all the way down to chapter 6 and verse 4, gives us a model for the home. A model for the biblical home. I love what Psalms in chapter 33 and verse 11, it says this: the counsel of the Lord, which is the word of God, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart and his counsel is the thoughts of God's heart to all generations. Yeah. A model home. As we get into this morning, just that title of the message, A Model Home, I want you to ask yourself something. Do you see your home as a model home? Years ago, my wife and I purchased a model home. Now, it was 3 years old because no one had ever lived in it. It was the model home for that addition. And in the model home, it's designed to show all that a house in that addition could offer. people would go into the model home and they would say, this is what you can get in your home if you have it built. You can have this and you can have this and you have an irrigation. You can have all the different about a model home. And they would come and they would envision building their own home and what they could have in their home. It was a model home. God's model for marriage is something that is powerful. Amen. That brings to a man and a woman blessings that you can't get anywhere else. Verse 31, the Bible says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." How can two become one? That's what happens in marriage. In God's eyes, they become one. Not that one is more important than the other. God is no respecter of persons. Get that out of your mind. God does not love the man more, and that's why he gave them this position. Or God does not love the woman more, and that's why he gave them this position. That is not the case. God is no respecter of persons, and he has a love for humanity. He created and designed the man. He created and designed the woman. And when you come to that place in your life where God has brought somebody into your life to become your companion, and God's design is for the two of you to become one for life. For life. That means nothing should be able to come between you. That means that you will be there for each other through thick and thin, through no matter what you have to deal with, you can be there for each other and you can be the companion that the other needs. You see, the only thing that Adam and Eve, who were created sinless, created after it, the likeness of God and in his image, and they were brought together in marriage by God as being sinless, and they were given this marriage in a place of paradise. If you go back and read the book of Genesis, you understand the beginning of things. So marriage was actually designed by God before sin came into the picture, and it was given to Adam and Eve to be enjoyed in a garden of paradise. The only thing that Adam and Eve were able to take out of the garden of paradise after the curse of sin was their marital relationship. The only thing. And a marital relationship within the perimeters and the design of God can have just a little taste of paradise. Designed by God to be able to keep a marriage together for life. Wow, what a design. What a blessing when you have God's model in your marriage. God's model for children. Psalms chapter 127, if you want to look there with me. I love this. This is powerful. God's model for children. This is what God says about it in the book of Psalms in chapter 127. He says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." So we're looking to God for God's plans, his blueprint for the home and house. "Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sheep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." That means that they come from God. God designed it. And he designed a man and a woman to, first of all, the model is to get married. And then as they have united and become one, we find then God's design is that they can have offspring. They can have children. And God designed it, and he places the spirit of that child into the womb of the mother. It's a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Listen to me, parents. God says that that child that you have is God's reward, God's blessing. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children in thy youth. Happy is the man. And God's model for the home and family, children, bring happiness. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Now, that's God's model. That's God's design. He's designed children to be a blessing in the home. And from I study this, I guess having a quiver full of them, and that means the more the merrier. You have to determine that. But if it's according to God's model. Can I tell you, every home and every marriage is different. No, you've heard no two people are alike. No two marriages are alike. They're all different. We need to stop comparing. The mistake that most couples make is they look at other couples. And all you see is what they want you to see. They don't wake up together. And as we compare ourselves by other couples, and the Bible says in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. If you're not careful, you say, well, if you were like so-and-so's wife, then I could be like so-and-so. Well, if you could be like their husband, this man or that man, and those, if we had those children, it'd be easy to be able to raise them, and it would be a blessing to the home if we had those children. Yeah. Got to stop comparing ourselves amongst ourselves. And we need to, each one, look to God's word. Look to God's word for your home, for your marriage. Can I tell you, it's like if you say, all right, we're going to have an activity, and the dress code is a suit and tie for the men. It all depends on the man what kind of suit and tie he's going to wear. Now, we might not have given a specific black coat, black tie, white shirt, just say suit and tie. And suit and tie would come together, and more than likely there wouldn't be anybody having the very same suit. And if they had the same suit, I guarantee you they wouldn't have the same tie. Especially nowadays, we somewhat show a little bit of our personality in our ties and our socks. Some have a little too much personality. But you see, that's what it would be. Everyone would have a little bit different flair in the suit that they wore. Everyone would have a little different flair in the tie that they would wear. Everyone would have a little different flair in whatever shoes, whatever socks they might wear. Because we're all different. But the thing that would be key would be suit and tie. When we look to the Bible, it's the Word of God, and we cannot take the Word of God and change it. We have to look to the Word of God and then take that Word of God and make sure that my marriage is in accordance with the Word of God. Because God designed that. But he made us different. And so in our marriages, we better stop looking at other people and deciding what kind of marriage we need to have based on what we see on the outside. And we had better continue to look to what God has revealed to us and apply that to our lives and be all that I can be in my marriage and be what God wants me to be in my marriage and be what God wants me to be in my parenting. We have the model that God has given to us. If you look back to our text now, look back to our text there. The model for the position of wife. You might not agree with it because you've looked at somebody else and you think that's the model. That's the model that they might have chosen. And you might not want to be that same wife to that same husband. And you don't have to be because you're not. But it is based upon God's model. Verse 22, wives, this is God's word. This is what God says. Submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, I love that because the example is as Christ is the head of the church. Because ultimately, that will affect the church, the home. In the home, every wife needs to be to your husband what the church is to Christ. Every man's different. Every woman's different. You didn't marry another man's wife. You didn't marry another man's husband. So stop comparing yourself. Ask yourself, am I to my husband what the church is to Christ? See, even as the pastor of the church, I'm so thankful to have Jesus to yield to. I'm so thankful that I do not have to make the decisions and I do not have to pastor the people and I do not have to preach my message. Because as a pastor, I need to die to my message and I need to be alive to God's message. And I am so thankful. Because I know that God's message is what the people need. And whatever that is, that's what I want to preach. That's what I want to lead the church to be. God's church. Proverbs chapter 31. And many know that, and this is a lot of Mother's Day messages come from Proverbs chapter 31. But it is something that the Bible has given to us. And again, the Word of God is timeless. And God's plan is the same. His counsel is the same. In Proverbs chapter 31, we find that this is a model position for the wife. Concerning her husband in verse 9. In Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 9, open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The price, the value of a woman that is looking to God is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Wow. Sounds like the kind of woman that every man needs. If you look concerning her children, verse 25, Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. The Bible says in verse 30, a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Fearing the Lord is having a reverence for His will for their lives and wanting to follow after His model and His design. Yeah. A model position for the husband, very important. A model position for the husband, Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 25, the Bible says, husbands, this is what God says, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. In the home, be to your wife what Christ is to his church. The connection there is so important. If Christ wasn't what he is to the church, a church could never be what the church needs to be to Christ. But because of what he is to the church, then it makes it easy for the church to be to him. You see, the greater sacrifice is Christ for the church. How many men actually are sacrificing more than their wives for the marriage? For Christ so loved the church that he gave himself for it. He sacrificed his own life. He hung on Calvary's cross. He suffered and bled and died for the church, which are the people. Are we sacrificing as we ought to, men, for our wives? Ephesians in 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now thank God for a wife that helps, but it's our job. Based on God's model, his plan, his design, it's the husband's responsibility. It's the father who is instructed to bring them up. The model position for the child. Now, praise God, I trust that many would say, you know, I want the model position in my marriage. If you understand what kind of blessings are associated with that kind of model, then you would want to strive to have that kind of marriage. Don't be blinded to it. But then we have that model for the position of the child. Ephesians in chapter 6. I'm just about finished here, so don't lose sight of this one. Verse 1 and 2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So we find the model position for the child, first of all, is obey. Model children are dependent upon model parents. A child does not understand this. It has been given to the children because that's exactly what the parents need to understand. That is God's will for that child. But a model child is dependent upon a model parent to raise them, to bring them up. God says if you want the blessings in your home that children bring, then you have to be the model parents in raising them for that blessing, to be that blessing. I trust we're getting that. If that's the case, then it ought to be the desire of every parent to study the Word of God and to apply however it is that God says that children are to be raised. Stop listening to the counsel of humanity. Stop listening to all the different ones that think they know better than what God does. God has designed it. It is God's model that children obey their parents. And it's up to the parent to make sure that children are obedient. Can I tell you this morning? There are prisons. If you really want to understand it, even the place of hell are filled with those who are not disciplined at home. An undisciplined child will become an undisciplined adult. It's how they're raised. The second thing he says, honor. Children should never be allowed to disrespect their parents. Now that obeying, that obedience only carries with it as far as that child is under the authority, under the household of the parent. Once that child moves out, once that child establishes their home, they're no longer under the authority, but you never outgrow the position of honor. A child should never disrespect their parent. That's the Bible. Yeah. Model children are dependent upon model parents. Model parents are dependent upon a model husband and a model wife, which come from understanding and applying the words of God. So lastly this morning, if you don't see your home as a model home, what do you do about it? You don't see your marriage as a model marriage. What do I do about it? 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're done. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You gonna let pride stand in your way? Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Understand who God is. Understand this is His design. Understand this is His model. Stop thinking that you know more than God. Stop being so proud that you say, I'm not going to submit to Him and I'm not going to give my sacrifice for her and we're not going to force our children to obey us. Who would really want that? Who would want to have that kind of rebellion against God if you know who God is? Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and it is mighty, that He may exalt you in due time. See, today, under the preaching of the Word of God, and under the understanding of God's model plan, if you don't see yourself as that model husband, that model wife, and that model parent, you have to stop any further damage, because you've been damaging your home. You've been damaging your marriage. You've been damaging your children. You got to stop any further damage and commit to God today. For the rest of your life, I'm going to strive to be not necessarily what my wife wants me to be and not what my children want me to be, but what God has designed me to be. It could start today. You can't control your husband, you can't control your wife, but you can definitely control you. And it begins with you. If I could have every head bowed this morning and every eye closed. A model home based upon God's Word. And God's Word is timeless. God's Word is to be applied in the 21st century and beyond until the church is raptured. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. If you don't see yourself as the model that God wants you to be, do something about it and start today. Father, we bow before you. Love you, Lord God. Thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray, God, that we would take it, receive it, and God, look to apply it starting today. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.